I'll be reading the Exodus passage, which will lead right into our lesson. Exodus 16, beginning in verse 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." I wanted to read a little further to kind of complete the thought, but we'll stop there. It's awfully warm outside for fall, isn't it? Has anyone grumbled about that? I didn't do a lot outside. One of these days it'll be too cold for me to do anything outside. And I won't have an excuse in that period between when it's just right, because I don't know if it'll ever be just right for me to do outside work or not. You know, we often talk about patience, and we jokingly say that there's only one way to get it. In fact, people have asked me, "How do I get patience?" And I say, "You're not going to like the answer, because I could talk about it all day. We could do a study. We could do the definition. We could talk about it from now on, but we would not learn it without waiting." And that's the hard part with us. In fact, I wish others would have patience, but I don't really care to learn it very much myself. And also, we talk about trust. And it's very hard sometimes for us to trust not only people, but especially God, who we can't see sitting in front of us. And some of us have had our trust broken by people, perhaps many times. And we also want to be considered trustworthy. And again, the way we do that is by looking at God, looking at his patience, looking at his trustworthiness, and trying to follow that. In fact, if both of those things are missing, not only we as individuals, but in our country, if both patience and trust are missing, then we've got some real problems. And maybe that's why we do have some problems. So today's scripture is about Israel and their battle with Moses, and ultimately, even though they may not have thought about it yet, with God. Because Moses says more than once, "What are we that you grumble against us?" But it's against God, really, that you're doing the grumbling. Now let's look and see what we've known so far, or what Israel has known so far. They had been in Egypt and had been slaves for generations, and they cried to God. And sure enough, God heard them. And on the way, they saw the seven plagues of Egypt, each one of them without Israel being touched by any of them. And they saw how Pharaoh refused to let them go. And in the final plague, where all of the firstborn of all of Egypt died, except, again, those of Israel. And the blood put on the door, and "I grew up with a hymn, I will pass over you." And that's where the Passover came from. But again, Israel was scot-free on all of these, and then Moses led them out. And I think sometimes I forget of the amount of people we're talking about. It was probably close to 1 million people, at least 500,000, that were led out. It would be like trying to lead the population of St. Louis out of St. Louis. And then some of them wanting to go back, because that's what we're going to see. They had been led out of slavery by God's power. They saw probably one of the most spectacular spectacles I can imagine, other than the great flood when the Red Sea parted. As Pharaoh and his army chased them, and it, not only did they cross through, but it wasn't on mud. It was on dry land. And even though our technicians are doing better at doing the graphics part of the movies, there's no way I can even imagine what this was like. And then they saw the water after they crossed the sea, and then they saw the water come back on the army and kill them all. Now, how long had they been gone from Egypt, according to Scripture? 1.5 months. Now, I know that my attention span's pretty short, but sometimes I wonder if surely in 1.5 months I would remember crossing the Red Sea, and that it was not me that did it. It was God. So that's where they've been, and then they say, we don't see any food in front of us. Why do you bring us out here? We would have died in Egypt. Now, that's an amazing statement to me. And now, don't worry, I'm going to talk about you and me later, because I don't feel like I'm off the hook for this. But we would have died in Egypt, where we had meat and we had bread every day. And so again, they saw nothing before them at the moment. And so they then forgot and focused on their present circumstances, and basically they ran out of patience and perhaps out of trust. Maybe they had just forgotten what they had seen. And again, you're talking about a huge amount of people. And we also find here that they grumbled, or in some translations, they murmured. Now, you know how this kind of thing starts. Sometimes it's only one person, or it's two or three. And then they begin talking, and I know in churches where I've been, the leadership gets a little worried when you start having meetings in people's homes, and you wonder, what's going on here? And then before you know it, something comes before the leadership of the congregation that they don't like, and they want to grumble about that. But wherever this started, it started and it spread throughout the entire assembly. Can you imagine this many people being dissatisfied and grumbling? And can you imagine how intimidated Moses and Aaron must have felt when that grumbling was directed at them? No wonder Moses said, "Who are we? I didn't cause all this. I didn't bring you out of Egypt on my own. I didn't part the Red Sea on my own. It was all God that did this. This was His doing." And so we know how destructive this murmuring can be, and it spread throughout this whole assembly. But what's amazing to me is 4 different times Scripture says God heard their grumbling. Now, it's not a surprise, it's in fact that He knows what I'm saying, which knows what I'm thinking, much less what I'm saying. He knows if I'm dissatisfied or not, whether I say a word to anyone. But He heard their grumbling. Now, that sounds like to me that there's about to be retribution. I mean, if I said, I overheard your complaining, then it sounds like, and probably in my case, it would mean something's about to happen, and you may not like it. But God heard their grumbling, and then He goes on to tell Moses, I'm going to prove to them that it was me that led them out of Egypt. So when God heard their grumbling, it wasn't necessarily negative. Now, that's what throws me off a little bit about reading the story, is that it doesn't necessarily mean punishment, but He's going to test them, and that's what He says He's going to do. So He heard that. He knew everything that they said and they thought. And Moses sort of steps out of the line of fire a little bit and says, now, you know your grumbling is really with God. That's who you have a problem with. Not really with me. Again, I couldn't have made this happen if I'd wanted to. So Moses is ready to redirect that grumbling where it really belongs, and that is where it belongs. Now, God provided, and also he appeared. Even with the grumbling, God still wanted to test them. It's almost as if someone is saying terrible things to your face, and you somehow gather the patience to just step aside and hear exactly what the need is and not what's on the face of it. And I've had to practice that over and over. In fact, we taught a course called Verbal Defense and Influence, and part of that is you don't take this personally, you redirect the complaint, and then you try to lead this person into, let's solve your problem, instead of taking it personally. Because I would first have a tendency to say, if I had been God, and if he had been me, okay, stand back. You're going to pay attention from now on, and you're never going to forget what I'm about to do. God didn't do that. He not only exercised patience, he showed us patience. And he by testing them, he was gathering their trust all along the way. So he provided for them. Provided for them anyway, in spite of their grumbling. And then he let Moses know there's going to be meat and bread. And I love the way this is. And quail came up from the... Now, quail, there's not too many of them. Quail is very good to eat. And out where I live, I have some neighbors, some ladies who are neighbors, and one of the ladies is sort of feeding the quail and trying to nurture this small covey. And every time I see one, my first impulse is to get my shotgun, but I know better. Because Mary Margaret would probably use my shotgun on me if I touched any of these quail. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay. There are other things, if I wanted to hunt, there are other things to do that with. But God showed them his power and ability by this quail, and it was plenty for them. It was plenty of meat for them. And then the next morning, they would, when the dew rose, there were these flakes on the ground. And they didn't know what it was, and it was like, the scripture says, it was like small wafers. Later, we find, if we had read further, that they called it manna. Manna from above, as the phrase that we use. And it was small flakes that could be baked. And so this was their bread. And every single day they would gather, and it would be just enough for each individual and each family. And those who had bigger families, it was enough for them. Those who had smaller families, it was not too much. It was just right. And I don't know about you, but I like to plan a little further than that. That's where I sort of show my mistrust for God. Not long ago at the hospital, you know, they have an emergency van in case there was a major emergency. They have all these supplies and everything in this van. And they had what used to be called sea rations when I was in the military. Now they're called meals ready to eat, which sounds like a military term. Everything seems backwards. But MREs. And so these particular ones were out of date, and they couldn't keep them on hand. So they sold them. And I bought a case of them. Now, I'm not sure why, but it was one of those just-in-case things, and they were fairly cheap. And my wife says, well, you know, we've had power outages out here. And I agreed, and I said yes, and I kind of like the idea of buying these. One of these days, I'm going to have to eat one just to see what they taste like. I don't think our power is ever going to go off for a month or two, and then we're going to starve in the process. But we all do those things. In fact, there are companies that advertise these things just in case. If there were a nuclear explosion and you had a bunker to go to, you would have food. And so we kind of let our mistrust get away from us sometimes. But God is going to show his power and his ability to care for them in every way they need. So Moses gave them these instructions as to how they are to gather. And then on the sixth day, they gathered double. Now, since they had first gathered every single day, as you would think, some of them decided to gather for one extra day. And the scripture tells us that the bread stank and it had worms the second day, except on the sixth day. They gathered the food and they preserved it until the seventh day, which God said is a solemn rest for you. And the food didn't spoil overnight, so they had enough for 2 days. And again, that's a trust issue with God, and to let them know that he had the power to do whatever they needed, looking past their grumbling, looking past their dissatisfaction, letting them know again, you really don't want to go back to Egypt, because I've got you. I have everything you need out here in the wilderness, whether you can see it or not. So what about us? Now, as I said earlier, I would love to be able to let you and me off the hook on this and stand back and look at Israel and say, I can't believe how ridiculous they sounded. After a month and a half of being out of Egypt, they grumble and they start being dissatisfied and they give Moses and Aaron a hard time, and then they wish they had gone back, even to slavery and hard labor, because they had meat and bread. But what do we lack? Do we lack patience even in traffic? When you come up on a construction site, do you say, like I do sometimes, oh no, I may lose 15 or 20 minutes here? And coming here, I saw some construction signs and I thought, uh-oh, what if I didn't plan for this and I'm going to be late? I doubt you would have closed up and left if that had happened. What if we do a lot of what-ifing, and if we can't wait for the good things to come or the bad things to go away? And sometimes my prayers are like that. And I wouldn't say it out loud to God, which is kind of a strange thought anyway. But I'm thinking, today would be a good time for this, for this prayer to be answered. I really need it now. Or it should look like this when it happens. Now, God answered Israel's prayer, their cry, while they were in Egypt. And sure enough, he led them out. And apparently they looked around and said, but this is not what we imagined it would be. We thought we would go into a wonderful situation where we could see everything ahead of time that we're going to get. But this doesn't look like that. We're out here in the wilderness. I don't see any food available. And now I want to go back. Sometimes I wonder if we're not the same way. Do we lack trust sometimes, where not only do we not perhaps ask God, but when we ask, we don't know if he's hearing us? It's sort of a rote thing, like I said that prayer, now it's up to God, and I'm just going to wait and see. Now that's kind of what we do, but with that trust along with it, and being patient for whenever God decides to answer. Many times I've found in my experience where the answer comes, and it may be a lot later than I wanted, but it's even better. It's even better than I prayed for. Because he may be working on 1,000 different problems, and I'm thinking of one. And so he gathers all that together and puts it directly in line, and I see my prayers answered, and many others see their prayer answered too. And none of us ever knew that we might have been praying for the same thing or for the same situation. So we need to work on our patience and our trust. And when we do that, even little by little, as I think that's kind of how we do it, we don't flip a switch and we've got all the trust and all the patience we'll ever need. It happens bit by bit. And as we do that, we inevitably come closer to God. And as we do that together, and we share the stories of our answered prayers, and we come together to praise God, and we understand a little bit more about what Israel needed to do and what we need to do and how amazing our lives can be when we do those things. So may we all focus a little bit more on our trust and our patience.